Welcome to the Golf Podcast, presented by Golficity, where we bring you the tips, instruction, and support you need to get the most out of your golf game. And now your hosts, a couple of guys who started a podcast because their wives were sick of them always talking about golf at dinner, Frank and Mike.
Oh, he's got us there, Mike.
That's for sure. I almost got in trouble to doing this podcast tonight.
Yeah, that makes two of us. Tell you what, how many times does that happen to us?
Oh, it happens too much. That's why we're better off doing podcasts here, where it's just you and I chatting about golf. So what's going on, Frank?
Not much. I've been actually haven't been out there as much as I'd like to, and I'm feeling this cold creeping in. September in the Northeast is starting to get, we were in the 50s today. How about you? You been out there?
Yeah, I've been playing a couple of times this week, a couple of outings. Did a shamble outing yesterday, you know, the format where everyone hits a good drive. You pick the best drive, and then everyone plays their ball from there on in. It was a really good charity event. Had a lot of fun, played great, and the course was amazing. And just trying to work on the short game. I know the winter is coming. I feel it up here in New Jersey. So pretty soon, you and I will be back in those simulator boots playing on the virtual screens. But until then, I'm going to try to cram in as much golf as I can.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's good to bring up because I wanted to mention in a future podcast, we're going to have an episode where we're going to cover all the different golf formats because there's more, I think, than most people even are aware of. And I think it can get confusing at some of the outings that you play in. There's even things like a Pinehurst. Some of those things can get really, they're fun, but they're interesting. So we're definitely going to cover that. And we're going to talk about the golf simulators when we start hitting those in a few months. So definitely stay tuned for that. In the meantime, last week we talked about the art of doing business on the golf course. We covered some tips for people who might be going out there. Maybe you're not a regular golfer, your boss invited you out, whatever it may be. So definitely check back. That was episode 5. We also talked about how a golf handicap is calculated, and we gave you some resources, some free resources on ways you can calculate your handicap and keep track of that online. So again, make sure to check out that. And as usual with the show notes, last episode, just go to golfficity.com/episode5. And anything you missed from today, it's golfficity.com/episode6. Those are the short links to our show notes. Today, we're going to talk about some tips for golfing in wet weather. And we think this is perfect timing. Again, with the fall up here in the Northeast, we're starting to get a little bit more rains coming in. It's unfortunate, but true. We're seeing the shorter daylight hours, trying to squeeze our rounds in. So we're going to go over those things because a lot of guys, I know, hey, Mike, you're like me. We're playing unless there's lightning, right? Got to get those rounds in. So that's what we want to talk about, these tips of how to get the most out of your round. And a lot of the places too, good point is we talked about how difficult it was to get the tee time last episode, and most of these courses, for just a little rain, they're not canceling that tee time. So you pretty much, it's up to you to get out there and keep your time. So we're going to talk about that, and we're going to show you how to enjoy the day and get the most of it. Later on in our bonus tip, we're going to talk about some strategies, some practice techniques you can use to stop the three putts. I know those are a killer. How about you?
Yeah, that's been hurting me a lot lately. I wish I could just throw my putter into the woods. But you mentioned lightning. I got to go back to that for a second. You would play in pouring rain, Frank?
If I haven't played in a while, there's a good chance I would.
That's a good point.
I'll be honest with you. But we're going to talk about, and all kidding aside, if you have the right gear, it can actually not be that bad. I mean, look, nobody enjoys standing out there in the rain, but you know, with the right gear and like a lot of other guys, I mean, some other guys have other hobbies. I like to fish. I've been fishing for a long time, and some of the best fishing is in the rain. So I'm used to it as far as from a hobby standpoint. But yeah, we'll talk about that. There are certain times it's going to be personal preference. Like if you're putting across the green and there's water flying off your ball, maybe that's a indication that you shouldn't be out there as well. So let's jump right into it. Let's talk about some of the tips we have for golfing in wet weather. And this is based on an article that we have on the site. You can find that by going to our instructions segment on golfficity.com. And we will also, as I said, have a link to that in the show notes. But diving right in, the first thing is, and something I just started talking about, is just being prepared and dressing appropriately. No, I got to bring it up. I have to bring it up. So I guess this is, I'll give it to you, it was early in the season.
When was okay, that, so by the way?
It was probably in April. Yeah. And what I'm talking about is, Mike, maybe you're just anxious to get out there, but maybe you didn't check the weather report because it was a day. It ended up pouring our whole round. But I get there. Mike's already there. He's about a half hour before the tee time. And I see him out there. He's putting on the putting green like nothing's even affecting him. Meanwhile, it's pouring and he doesn't have a shred, not a shred of you know, wet golf gear with them. I mean, maybe you had a hat, but you were just out there in a collared shirt, short sleeve collared shirt, golf pants, and it's just pouring on you. And then what? You didn't even have an umbrella with you that day.
No umbrella.
Right?
I always bring some type of waterproof jacket or windbreaker or something, and I just didn't bring it. Maybe I was just so amped up to play that day. I totally was unprepared, and it was the most miserable 4.5 hours of my life.
I'll give you the tenacity award, though. I remember on the 18th, you had the water was like sloshing around in your shoes, but you were still out there.
Absolutely. Had to finish strong.
That's right. You know, especially early in the season. That's, like I said, well, that's when we're most ambitious. Maybe late in the season, we'd be like, forget it. I'm headed out of here. But it does bring a good point. First thing to do. First, biggest, most important part about being prepared for the elements, it may sound silly, but we're bringing it up, and that's why we bring up this example, because it can happen to anybody, especially if you're just anxious to get out there, you have an early tee time, you're rushing to meet the guys, whatever it may be, you still got to stop and check that weather, because you don't know, you don't want to be caught off guard, you don't want to have it where you don't have your umbrella with you, whatever it may be. So let's just talk about a couple things to have out there with you when it comes to just being prepared. There's the obvious, you know, a windbreaker or some sort of waterproof jacket. I bought the waterproof pants and I just rolled them up and I keep them in my golf bag. That way I don't forget them. And they're great because you can just throw them on top of whatever you're wearing. They've got like the zippers down, you know, by your shoes. So you can kind of just slide them over and it keeps everything dry. Those I found have gone a long way, especially if it's a slow round and you're waiting out there and you're sitting anywhere and you're not getting soaked, you know, so that's something I'd advise having in there. Other than that, you know, all the obvious things, the hat, the umbrella, have it with you. But let's talk about some little tips of extra stuff that I like to have with me. And one that has actually been a big benefit to me, and I've had this is something I learned years ago in high school from my golf coach. He had us all put 2 or 3 washcloth sized towels in our golf bag and just keep them in there. And what happened was, if it's a really rainy day and you are having a lot of trouble holding onto that club, a washcloth is about the same length as your grip and you can wrap it around. Now, it's not easy because it does, you know, make the grip a little bit thicker, but the smaller the towel, the better. And it will get you through the round, you know, and you just, you know, tuck it, you know, in a dry pocket between shots, pull it out, wrap it around the grip, and you'll find you get a lot more grip. You're not having the club fly out of your hands. So I've tried that a few times. Mike, do you have any other tips that you have, like little things that you've done when you're out there?
Yeah, if you're a Southeast golfer in Florida and there's a lot of rain showers, or you're up here in the Northeast playing in, you know, this time of the year, October, November, take a look at those FootJoy. TaylorMade makes them too. They're rain gloves. You can wear them on both hands, and they're supposed to give you this extra grip. I'm looking at the website right now, Frank, and they're about $20. And it's both pairs, left hand, right hand, rain gloves. And what they're supposed to do is just give you a strong grip on the club. And that was the worst part about that round that you just referenced back in April. After like the 10th hole, I just wanted to go home, because after every shot, the club was flying out of my hand. It was slipping, and I was hitting the ball 2 feet in front. It just wasn't fun. So if you're going to do it and you know a cloud's going to pass through during your round and you're going to catch maybe an hour of rain, just pick up those gloves and throw them in your bag and see if they work. And, you know, let us know what you think about them if you buy them.
Yeah, for $20, like you're saying, you can't get hurt. And it's just one of those things, as I said, it's not something that you want to have to each time go through your mental checklist of remembering everything. Just get these things and throw them in the bag. You know, I even, if you want, throw them in a Ziploc bag inside your golf bag so that they kind of stay dry or whatever it may be until you need them. And just make sure you dry them out before you throw them back in there. But just having these couple of things can really change your day. And as I said, it's all about making the most of it, because ideally nobody wants to play in the rain. But it happens, you know, or you even get, we talked about in the last podcast episode, we talked about outings. There are certain outings that are rain or shine. So you're going to be out there with guys, and then you just want to be the one who's prepared, you know, have these couple of things with you. And again, you're going to get the most out of it, because you may have, who knows, for an outing, you may have shelled out $100 and you're playing. You might as well enjoy the round. Things as simple as just having those gloves, having like the waterproof pants, the towels, whatever it may be, a couple of fresh towels. I mean, everybody's got a towel hanging on the outside of their bag. But if you throw a couple extra fresh ones in there with you, you can pull them out and, you know, exchange them as the one gets soaked and whatever it may be. But that little bit of preparation and that little bit of equipment preparation is going to really go a long way. So let's move on to the next thing. Talking about the actual playing conditions themselves. One thing to keep in mind, and probably the most important thing to keep in mind, is how soft the ground is going to be. So Mike and I started talking about this a little bit in the last podcast about, just generally speaking, we were saying about our wedge shots and working on those and finding that, especially in the fairway, you know, a lot of times a very high lofted club will really cut in and you'll end up with a big divot, and you'll actually sometimes go right underneath the ball. So this is obviously going to be amplified and magnified by the fact of the ground being even softer. So you want to keep that type of stuff in mind. Think of it almost as though you're hitting off of a sponge rather than hitting off of the ground, and understanding how that's going to change the bounce of the club, understand how that's going to change things that are going to be digging in. So you want to try to smooth out that swing. Make sure you're taking less ground contact and contacting more of the ball. So you're going to be coming down at a steeper angle, whatever it takes to make more flush contact with the ball and less contact with the ground. Same goes for any of the sand traps. Sand's going to be heavy. It's going to be wet. You're not going to be able to just take the same deep shot where you're throwing a lot of sand up, because you're going to lose all of that club head speed when you're grabbing that heavy sand. Right, you agree with me there?
Yeah, absolutely. And it goes the same for the rough and the green. We all know after it rains, the greens are going to play slow. Practice them before you get out. That's probably what I was doing before that round. I wanted to see how slow the greens were, or if they were normal. So the rain will slow that down. And the rough, Frank, I always like to take extra clubs. I don't know if I'm supposed to hit a 5-iron, but I'm in a thick, wet, rough patch. I'll probably drop to the 4-iron just because of that. So I will adjust my game to the wet weather. And you know what you said about the fairways, that goes back to last week's podcast. We talked about not chunking the ball. We touched on it briefly, but you know, keep that weight forward, especially on those soft surfaces, so you can compress the ball better and not dig up too much dirt. Otherwise it's just going to be a nightmare out there.
Yeah, so true. And I'm glad you brought up the rough, because it slipped my mind, but it's so true. It's going to be amplified, you know, tenfold how heavy that rough is going to be if it's really wet. So that's where any of the things you normally do in the rough, if you're facing a heavy rough, like perhaps opening the club face a little bit, clubbing up, as Mike said, coming in on a steeper angle, whatever it may be, keep that in mind. And then just don't let that wet, heavy rough take you by surprise. It's mental preparation. You got to know going into it that these types of things are going to be even more of an obstacle than they normally are. So don't underestimate it. I see it a lot of times happen, or even if when we're talking about wet weather, we're talking about when it's raining, but even if it had rained overnight, maybe it's not raining right now. Keep that little bit in mind when you go out there and just, you know, when you're taking your practice swings, get a feel for the rough, get a feel for how heavy it's going to be and how the ball is going to come out, and try to adjust your play around that. So the other thing we wanted to talk about above and beyond that is a little bit of a higher aspect of it, is not losing your focus. Focus being very important, and it's very easy. We've talked about this a little bit, and we're going to keep diving into this on future episodes, but how important it is to keep your pre-shot routine as far as your setting the tempo, setting the flow, how it works for your mental game, all those things. The pre-shot routine is vital. That's what I've been spending personally my most time on this season, is really getting that down to a science and making sure my pre-shot routine is the same every time. Now, throw in any type of unfavorable weather, whether it be cold, rain, whatever, naturally you're going to want to just kind of speed that up because it's not comfortable, you're just kind of moving along. What we're saying is, as much as you can, to the best of your ability, try not to alter that routine because of the elements. Try to stick with it, because if you start trying to rush through that, it's going to change your game. It's going to lead to a lot of frustration. You're not going to be playing the way you want to be playing. And it could set a bad rhythm for future rounds. You know, maybe you get out there again next week and it's drier, but that last round is still in your mind. So as much as you can, try to devote that the attention to the shot that the shot deserves and to the pre-shot routine. Right, Mike?
Yeah. And you know, all our podcast listeners right now are probably saying, Frank, easier said than done. Because let me tell you, when you're out there and it's pouring rain, there are so many things I'd rather be doing than being out there in those elements. I'm thinking about that hot shower, hot cup of coffee, just waiting when I get home. But that's what made it so miserable for me last time out. And I have not played in the rain since that day, by the way. Because I just couldn't do it. But
is that a matter of choice, luck, or what?
No, it's probably. I think it's choice. I mean, I've had other rain days where I've just called and canceled because it's just not fun. But I like these tips. These are helpful because sometimes we start our round off and it's beautiful out. It's sunny. It's great. And these things sneak up on us. That happened to me last week. Actually, it just started pouring on the 16th hole, torrential downpours, and we had three holes to go. We were playing a very friendly match, and we wanted to finish it. So, a lot of those little tips came into to play. I had the towel with me, like you mentioned before. So, but focus, it's tough. It's really tough because, most of the time when you're in that situation, you just want it to end. So you just start rushing everything and you don't care where the ball goes, or you don't care. You're not even lining up your putts anymore. You just want to keep moving. If you want to continue the round and keep it going and have a really enjoyable score and round, just, try to keep that focus as hard as it is.
Absolutely. And that goes back to what we said earlier. These tips are really for if you want to be out there. It's still your choice, whatever it may be. You're not always going to, paid to play, most of us. So we don't have to be out there. So it's your choice. And if you enjoy it, but what we're saying is this is still a way that you can get the most out of it. And if you think back, Mike, when that round happened again, that was when we were chomping at the bit. I remember we were like 2-3 months. It was a long winter. We were 2-3 months every weekend in that simulator. And I think at that point, we would have played under any conditions to hit the course.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember I woke up. That's why I was there a half hour early. I was so excited. I had my white belt, my brand new shoes. That's why I didn't want to bring any jackets or anything, because I just wanted to be in full golf gear because I was so excited to be out there.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was the beginning of the season. Now we're like, all right, we've got 40 rounds, 50 rounds under our belt, and we're like, okay, I could take or leave, tomorrow's round. But it was a different story in the spring. And hey, look, that's when you're going to get this rain. So for those guys who are out there who are brave enough to do it, definitely do it. So bringing us to our next point, and a perfect segue there is what you were saying about you may be having a great round, you're 16 holes in and it starts pouring and you want to finish up. But any golfer, it's almost impossible to be in that situation and not think of the priest in Caddyshack finishing up his round.
Yeah, you don't want to be that guy.
You don't want to be that guy. And so we even put that that video right in the article, because we're saying, look, at the end of the day, you still got to stay safe. For those of you who maybe are new and are not aware of this, if you hear a horn when you're out there, it means come in. You just do it. It's not worth it getting struck out there by lightning or something like that. And the way a lot of those works is, don't go in blaming the guy in the clubhouse for ringing the horn, because most of those systems are actually automated. They have no control over them. They're expensive systems that most of these golf courses put in, and they do it for a reason. It's to protect the golfers. And usually the way those work, if you're interested in the inner workings, is that a majority of them, if they detect any lightning strikes within, I think it's a, whatever, it's a 1 to 5 mile threshold, it'll automatically sound the alarm. And then what they'll do is they won't let you back out on the course for a half hour after the last lightning strike in the area. So it's just to be extra safe. But look, I know, we all know, you're out there and you're saying, look, I don't have the luxury of going in the clubhouse, waiting this storm out for an hour and coming out and finishing my last two holes. Let's just get it done. What I'm saying is just be smart about it. You know, staying out there is a good way to get hurt, and B, a good way to get kicked off or not allowed to get back out there. So if you hear that horn, just come in. Or if you're at a course that doesn't have it, if you hear thunder, you know, use your judgment. It'd probably be a good idea to head on in, because, you know, golf courses, it's flat area, you know, elevated, you know, you round a lot of trees. It's not a good idea, right, Mike?
Yeah. Hey, Frank, question for you.
Yeah.
Let's just say you're 13 holes in, all right, this weekend, and you're 3 under. You're having a heck of a day. You got 3 birdies and the rest pars all the way through 13. The heavens open, and it's just pouring, and you look at your phone and you notice this storm isn't going anywhere for hours. What do you do?
If it's pouring, I play the round. I stay out there and I finish as much as I can finish using these tips. And that's where I'm hoping that I'm heeding my own advice, and I reach into my bag and there's a fresh towel and those gloves and everything else in there. But if it's lightning, I hate to say it, like, at some point I'm probably going to have to head in, because most of these courses too, the ranger's going to be out there. He's going to throw you off. It's not even going to be your decision. But if I had a round going that well, if it was lightning, I'd go in the clubhouse, wait it out, call my wife and say, listen, I'm going to miss lunch today because I'm 3 under. And I, at that point, I would hope she would understand. But how about you? What would you do?
Yeah, I'd probably pack it in. You know, I'm scarred for life. But, you know, I wanted to ask you the question, if same scenario, but your wife goes into labor, then what?
Oh, I better be out of there. But you know what? Perhaps it's luck, perhaps it's perfect planning that she's due in February.
There you go.
Because it's really easy to leave the simulator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's for sure.
Not so easy to leave the course.
No.
All right, so that's basically everything we have on our tips for golfing in wet weather. Like I said, make sure you check out the article on Golficity. I'll have that in the show notes. Just go to golficity.com/episode6, and I'll have the link to take you right there. Jumping into the next thing, we want to talk about some tips we have for eliminating 3 putts. 3 putts are a killer. I know it's happened to me so many times. When I'm not putting, you know, or when I'm just not feeling it out there, I'll start counting up those 3 putts and realizing how many strokes I'm leaving out on the course, and it's just a mess. So we have a couple tips we want to talk about, and I want to get your feedback on this, because there's different schools of thought. A lot of what the way this particular practice method is structured has to do a lot with laying up and making sure you don't 3-putt. And instead, it's more aimed for making it in the 2-putt, you know, going for a 2-putt almost doing a layup versus going for the hole every single time. And we recently had an interview on the site with Brad Faxton, who everyone knows is one of the greatest putters ever on tour. And in the interview, he talks about a little bit how he differs from that, in that he never lays up a putt. He always goes for the hole. Now, we're not all Brad Faxon, but hey, like, if it works for you, it works for you. But let's go over the basics of how this little practice technique works. Mike, do you want to take that?
Yeah, sure. One thing that I like to do, Frank, is when I go to the practice green, I will take, whether it's tees, some people use rope, or you can draw around if you have some type of chalk or whatever the case may be. But what I'm essentially doing is making a perimeter around the hole. You know, maybe it's 1 foot or 2 feet around. And I'm just, you know, simply taking, you know, 6 balls, 7 balls, and I'm just putting into that perimeter, which is surrounding the hole. And what this is doing, it's, you know, showing me how to get my stroke down to move the ball to that particular location. I'm actually doing the opposite of what Brad Faxon was saying, but I want to put the ball near the hole, because I know that I can just get up with a 1-foot putt and knock it in, and that's my 2-putt. So I practice that, and I'll move the ball back, and I'll keep going from 10 feet to 15 feet to 20 feet, because a lot of times we are faced with that 20-foot putt. We're not, I know I'm not good enough to stick the ball 3 feet, 5 feet from the pin every approach shot in. You know, if I get on the green, I'm probably going to have a 15 to 20 foot putt. So those long putts are important to practice. And, you know, this is a great way to practice it, Frank.
Yeah, and that's a solid point. When you're talking about from an amateur standpoint, of course, most of us are going to have more three putts than what you see on tour, because these guys, as Mike said, they're not often faced with 25, 30 foot, you know, putts every time. They're sticking it close, and, you know, they're within 6 to 8 feet. You know, and they're not going to three putt from there. They're just not. Those guys are usually, you know, nailing anything in that range in one anyway. But for guys like us, look, our approach shots are not quite as accurate. Our chipping might not be quite as good as what you see on tour. So you're gonna be faced with a lot of these long putts. So it's a matter of, and the technique that Mike is talking about is a matter of ensuring that you're going to be able to save that one stroke and hole it in two. So what I like about this practice technique, and again, this is that visualization of if almost taking the cup and visualizing it as though it was like a 2 foot diameter, okay? And you're putting into that, and you want to make sure you get in that, because you know that anything within that, you're going to be able to hole out on your second putt. You're not going to miss a putt that close most of the time anyway. So the idea being is this type of practice technique is going to help you to gauge the read. It's going to also help you to gauge the speed. You're going to get your speed down, and like Mike said, you're going to get a more consistent stroke down because you're making sure to land it in that area. So again, it goes against a certain school of thought where some guys will say, like, look, every time I'm going for the hole. Again, we want to hear your thoughts. So you make sure you post a comment for us on the article or tweet us at Golficity and let us know, is that something you agree with? Are you going for it every time? Do you feel like that's too much of a risk? You know, also there's a lot of other factors that come into play. Is it a downhill putt that if you miss that cup, it's going to go another 8 to 10 feet, and now you're definitely staring down a three putt. So make sure you, you know, weigh those factors in mind, but either way, regardless, I still think it's a great, practice technique that you can use to start to get your stroke down, gauge the speed, and make sure that you're coming close to the cup every time. So give that a try. Another couple of quick putting tips that I have that come to mind, a great way to gauge speed too is sometimes take the hole out of play altogether. And this is something that I've been practicing a little bit. When I go out on the putting green, I will sometimes just drop a couple balls, maybe in the center of the green, or, you know, wherever it may be. I'm usually about anywhere from 10 to 12 feet away from the fringe, and I'll actually putt towards the fringe and try to get that putt to stop right where it goes into the from the green cut to the fringe cut. So you're taking the whole mental aspect of the hole out of play, and you're just trying to roll the ball the exact speed you want to roll. It's similar, like if you're playing pool or billiards and you ever play the game where you just try to like roll the cue down and just try to make it stop as close as you can to the other bumper. Same type of thing. You're taking the hole out of play and you're just working on your speed. So that's one thing I would say. And then another little practice tip that I like to do, it helps you gain some confidence, and it also helps to make sure that you're not going to miss those close putts. Because like I said, this whole thing becomes a moot point if you're just trying to get it close, but then you can't make that close putt. Then you're still in a three putt, you know, territory anyway. So what I like to do is just, you know, set up three balls about a foot from the hole and putt them all. And once you sink all three, you can move back to 2 feet, putt all three balls. When you sink all three, you move back to three feet, so on and so forth. The key being, if you miss any one, you have to start right back at 1 foot. So it'll get to a point where you'll putt so many 1 to 2 foot putts in that little practice, and sometimes you'll move out 3-4 feet, you'll be on a roll, but those 1 to 2 foot putts will become so automatic to you. You'll gain so much confidence in that because that little practice game you can play with yourself will force you to make that putt over and over and over again. Whereas most of us now, we neglect those very short putts because we think, hey, I can make that. Then we'll go out to the putting green and we'll drop a couple 8 feet out and just keep putting 8 feet out, 8 feet out. But we never actually practice those 1 to 2 footers, which really is where a lot of strokes can get lost because you almost take that putt for granted. So what I like is that this will help you teach you not to take those very short putts for granted. Have you tried anything like that, Mike?
Yeah, Frank, I play games all the time just like that on the green. I love it because it helps with those short putts, like you said. But I wanted to add one other thing. This is interesting. I heard this from someone. I tried using it recently. We never have the same putt. I mean, we're always heroes on the practice green because if you putt 10 balls to the same hole, eventually you're going to start nailing them all in because you're going to get, you know, the slope and the speed. So I like what I like to do is I like to take those five or six balls and I like to place them 5, 6, 7, 8 feet, you know, deep from the hole, but go all the way around in a long perimeter where one may be going left to right, one may be going uphill. So every single putt is different because you and I know every putt's going to be different on every green that we're on. You know, we're never going to have the same putt. And when we get up to the green where we just put our ball, we don't know the slope perfectly because we haven't hit that shot yet. So you want to play as many mysterious question mark type of putts as you can when you're practicing because that's what you're going to be faced with on the course.
Yeah, and what I like that you said there is when you're practicing because I think there are two schools of thought. First, the practicing in general, when you Mike's right. You want to try as many different reads as you can so you can start to learn different speeds, different reads, different distances. And that's where we talk about, and we've talked about in past episodes, and I'm sure we'll mention a lot more, the importance of practicing that short game, putting included. We see guys who go out to the range for an hour a week, but then they spend 3 minutes on the putting, you know, putting green. You got to alter that up. So you want to be able to do that. But the slight difference that I like to do is if it's right before a round, if I'm just putting to warm up, that's not really the time that I want to be practicing in the conventional sense. And like, I'm not learning my putting then. I'm out there to gauge how fast the greens are playing that day. But the other thing I'm out there to do is to build confidence. You don't want to challenge yourself too much right before you hit the tee box. Because the last thing you want to have in your mind, we know this game is all about confidence, having that confidence going in and confidence in your swing, confidence in your stroke. If you set yourself up with a bunch of very challenging putts and you miss them all, now you had, you know, the ranger calls you up, it's your turn on the tee box, and the last thing in the back of your mind is the 15 putts you just missed. That's going to set the wrong tone. You're going to hit the first, second hole, and you're not going to have confidence that you're going to be able to make it. What I like to do is I'll start, if I've got enough time and I'm there early enough, I'll do some of those more challenging putts. But what I always like to end on is a bunch of three, 4 foot putts, just drilling them, you know, whether it be from the same spot or from different spots. I find that it develops a lot of confidence in my stroke. I know you almost give yourself that subconscious feeling like I got it. You know, I know what I got this. My putting is on today. You know, you're telling yourself ahead of time. And trust me, most of this, just like any other aspect of the game, most of the game is that confidence, just knowing, you know, I'm going to make it. I'm going to hold this one out. I've got this. Versus going out there and thinking, whoa, I didn't make a single putt out there on that putting green. So keep that in mind. Keep in mind your different times and again, structuring your practice for when you want to structure it and what you want to do. So that about wraps everything up. Before we go, I want to definitely mention again, check us out on the web at golficity.com. We've got actually a lot of great articles out on the site this week. We've got a couple other putting articles that came out. So this is just kind of a taste of it. And this why we run the podcast is we want to be able to share as much of this information as we can. But there's a ton more on Golficity, so make sure you check that out. Also, we want to definitely invite everybody to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter as usual. You can find us on facebook.com/golficity and our Twitter handle is @golficity. But also check us out on Google+. We've got a couple of nice communities on there, golf communities, where we have guys talking about their game and sharing information. And if you're new to Google+, I definitely would encourage you to try it out. If so, you know, connect with us, you know, you put it the way they do that, they call it circles or whatever they call it on there, but it's a great way to stay in touch. We publish all of our articles and we promote them all on there, so it's a good way to make sure you don't miss anything. Also, we want to hear from you guys. We want to hear, you know, any questions, comments, what you feel about the show. If there's certain things you want us to discuss on the show, email us at podcast@golficity.com. That comes right to both Mike and I, so we'll be able to see those and we can talk about, you know, some of your questions and comments on one of the future episodes. So again, we want to thank everyone for listening. If you like what you hear, do us a big favor, leave us a review on iTunes. We couldn't be happier with all these great reviews that have been coming in, all these five-star reviews. We want to let you guys know that we really appreciate that. Mike and I personally read through every single one of those, and we really enjoy the feedback. But good or bad, we want to hear that feedback, so definitely send that our way. And also make sure to check out our free newsletter. It's the best way to stay up to date with all of our latest articles and podcasts. So again, that's everything we have for episode 6. You can see the show notes at golfficity.com/episode6. And we'll be back next week with more additional tips. And we're going to be talking about different ways to improve your game. So we'll be back with you then.